each one this morning. It's good to be here, and I'm just a substitute, but it was a mutual agreement between our speaker today and the deacons that he not come because of COVID. I just want to thank you today for your willingness to participate in the wearing of the masks. I know that the deacons want to abide by the county rules, and I believe that it will make it a safer place. For a number of reasons, we should do this. Number one is we don't need bad publicity. Number two is that we have people here that leave and they are in contact with others whose health may be compromised. So we don't want to be a spreader of it. Thirdly, we want to seek to do it to the best of our ability so others would feel free to come and worship with us. And I know that some folk are much more sensitive about it than others, and that's quite okay. I was talking to my brother yesterday, and I don't know what came up about COVID, and he said, well, personally, I'm not concerned. But then he said, on the other hand, I don't go looking for it. And I thought, well, you know, well put. It might be okay for me, but what about someone else? And I think everyone here this morning understands that, and let's honor the Lord by heeding to the protocol. The other thing is I want to mention before, I have a little story for a little guy, okay? So before we go there, I just want you to know that when I'm here or not here, don't be afraid to talk to me if you have concerns or know someone who wants to talk either to myself or if it means that it's one of the deacons that comes with me or if you want to volunteer, if they want to sit down and talk, I'm available. I don't live that far away. We could either do it by phone. We can meet here on a Sunday, respecting COVID. It's an awkward time. I'd like to be in everyone's home. But that's not possible. So anyway, I just want you to know if you're talking to someone, and by all means, if you need my phone number, there's people here that have it. Barb's got it. Marty's got it. And my wife has got it. And I've got it. Secondly, a lot of announcements today. But, you know, one of the things as we gather together and as we seek to move ahead, we need to pray. We need to pray one for another. We need to pray for our elders who have resigned. We have to pray one for another and that God would grant wisdom as this church moves into a new phase. And we just trust for God's blessing and direction. And it's not going to be by any one person. It's only going to be by the Lord Jesus who said, I will build my church. And that's wonderful to know that the Savior is in the building business. Now, last Sunday, a little guy came to church. And he was, and I told him he did very, very, very well to sit through the service. So what I'm going to do, and I think he knows who he is, and I said, I'm going to have something for you next week. Now, the rest of you, you can turn right out, turn right off. You can think about tomorrow, yesterday, whatever, but I know you won't. And I'm sorry, Norman, I forgot this good-looking guy's name. Marshall? You know what, that's what he told me last Sunday. So your name is not changed this week. No, Marshall was an exceptionally good boy last week, and I would like to interact by having him come right up to the front here, but we can't, okay? And but I brought along something that, do you know what? When I look into that mirror, you know what I see? I see somebody staring back at me. No, when I look into the mirror, I see a person. Now, and that person, see, I was going to have, I got, during the week, I got thinking, you know, I should have Marshall look in here, but we can't. So we got to do our best. So if Marshall was to look in there, you know what he'd say? That's me. And you know what's so interesting? Is there's nobody in the world like Marshall. Nobody in the world like Gary. Now, I went online. And there are other Gary Robinsons. Wow. And what's interesting, you know what I found very interesting? Those that are deceased, and that's not me, but those that have died, their birth date is fairly close to mine. Can anyone guess why that would be the case? Well, I may caught you off guard. But you know why names become popular? What about Harry? Why? You got Gary, you got Barry, and you got Larry and Harry. Okay? Not Marshall, but Harry. Why is Harry popular today and the other three not? What about Harry Potter? What about Prince Harry? See, their name becomes popular and people, yeah. Now when I found, I hope I'm here again today, I did so. Now Marshall's name's not on here. But you know, it says that, but what other names are rapidly out of fashion? Now, see, when I was born, Gary was a popular name. So was Norman. Now, just a few of the names that are falling off the chart is Gary, is Norman, is Ronald and Barry, Graham, Bernard, Maurice, Clive, just a few of them that's falling off the chart. Okay, so let's get back to what we're talking about this morning with Marshall here. When Marshall looks in the mirror, he says, that's me. My name is Marshall. Other people may have your name, but there's only one of you. Wasn't that interesting? Now, I found out something else in this little exercise that I thought was good. Did you know it's soon going to snow down here? It has snowed up where we live. Snowflakes are unique. They're all different. And one of the things I found out is if you go to make a snowball that is 1 pound, could you imagine being hit by a 1 pound snowball? I think it's 22,400 snowflakes in there. So let's divide that in half. 11,200 for a half pound snowball. Okay? Now, why did I bring up about a snowball and snowflake? They're different too. But you know, the snowflake will eventually melt. But you know what, Marshall? You and I are unique in the sight of God. And he's put something in us which we're going to live forever. And one thing we know, that God loves us. See, the amazing thing, when I look into the mirror and I see Grandpa Gary, and I say, I wonder why God loves him. But God does. And always remember, when you look into the mirror, say, I'm Marshall, and what? God loves me. Every one of us can do that, can't we? Now, God loves us. So that's the little story I have for today, okay? Thanks for being a good boy. Now, last Sunday, I started off by saying that let's not just do church. Let's be the church. And in my message, we talked about whom? Okay, the Good Samaritan. And we concluded with a little video to show that the impact that acts of kindness can have upon other people, and we should do this to the glory of God. But anyway, as I was going out, Barb told me this little story that I thought we should all hear. Barb, would you share, please?
Man, he's a good storyteller, eh? Wow. Well, this little story touched my heart. As many of you know, I work at the Mission Thrift Store in Belleville. And most of the time lately, I've been on cash. So a week ago Saturday, two young fellows came in, I'd say 14 to 15. And they went around the store, and they came up with a purchase. And the first fellow bought a ball cap. I said, would you like a bag? And he said, no, I'll just put it on. So he put it on, paid me. Second young man came up with a ball cap and a toque. And so I said, it's so much. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't buy both. Of course, that was hard for me right there. He said, I'll just put this one back. And he put the ball cap back, and he kept the toque. I said, would you like a bag? And he said, no. No, he said, yes, I'll take a bag. So he paid me for the toque, and the two young men didn't go out. They went around the store again, and I'm thinking, I wonder why they're going around the store. But anyway, finally they came up again, and the first young man that had a ball cap, he had a toque in his hand. And he said, I'd like to buy this. And I said, would you like a bag? He said, no, I can put it in the other one. And I said, okay. And then the first guy said, you know what, we don't need those bags. We're only going to take them across the way and give them to the homeless. And that was the Salvation Army. And they feed about 40 people every night. As I'm going home at 5 o'clock, they're lined up to get their meal and go. And I thought, there are two young men, about 14 or 15, or young, whatever you call them at 14 or 15, going to take. And I said, God bless your day. And they said, God bless you too. And I thought that was a lesson for me to give, pass things on to other people. And so two people got a beautiful toque. So pass it on.
Thank you very much, Barb. Yes, there are people out there that certainly show act of kindness. I want you to turn with me today in your Bibles, and I want to go to John 17 first. Now, we're not going to get through all of this today, and that's quite all right. That's quite all right. Because we can come back to it. But I just want to read a few verses in John 17, and then I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to break in verse 11 of chapter 17. I will remain in the world no longer. Now, this is Jesus' prayer, and before his crucifixion, but they will they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be what? One, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. Now, I'm going to skip over to verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. Okay, he was praying for the disciples. Now he's praying for all believers. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and I. That all of them may be what? One. Father, just as you're in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Okay, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, I'm going to stop there. And may God bless the reading of his word. Let us just pray before we begin. Father, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, may we be reminded of the fact that when we're being the church, we have the very attitude and mind of Christ. Minister today, in Jesus' name, amen. What's interesting is that in the New Testament, if we come to the book of Ephesians, and also through the epistle, Paul alludes to it, that there was two groups of people. There were Jews and Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles? The Gentiles were the nations that were not Hebrew or Jews. Okay? Now, we know that the Jews were God's chosen people. But God had a plan. And that plan was that in the future, see, even the prophets couldn't see it, understand it, is what? That Christ was going to come, but what would be accomplished through Christ coming into the world? And that is that Jew and Gentile would become one in the body of Christ. Now, isn't that amazing? To think that in this world, there's believers, and we call that, in the broad context, that's the universal church. We're the local church. We're a representation of the universal church. Now, when we think of the universal church, that should cause us to realize that, oh my, people from every tongue, tribe, and nation, every background belongs to the universal church. And you know what Jesus prayed? Prayed that we'd be one. Now, you know, we can understand that, and we're to draw from that, even in the local church context. But I want to look at today at a broader context. He wants the church universal to be one. And you say, but how in the world is that possible with so many different people? Well, That's an interesting question. But first of all, before we answer that, I want to go to the fact that, or show where unity comes from. Okay? The best illustration of unity is in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? They're co-equal. They do nothing without consulting each other. They walk in unison. They walk in harmony. They walk united. Now, isn't that beautiful? Now, the second illustration we can get is, what about a marriage? You know what the Bible says? A man should leave his father and wife, be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become what? One. Now, I know, and I'm not going to embarrass you, we have a young couple that just started out in this wonderful journey. Now, I'm an old fogey, and I'm looking back. See, we're soon going to be 50 years. I know, you wonder how that's possible. I can tell you how it's possible. I'm looking back. You do eventually become one. Now, you're united in marriage, but the oneness comes with your submission to each other and your interest. And what I find interesting is, I'll bet my office doing something, and my wife will say something, I'm doing what she's talking about. We drive along in the car. My wife may bring up something. I'm thinking the same thing. Why? Because your two worlds become so intertwined that you begin to think alike. Now, I heard one here just not long ago that you become to look like each other. I don't want that to happen in my wife's case. Okay? I don't want that to happen. Well, you begin to look alike. But the one. Now, what's interesting too, and when we think of, okay, the Trinity, we think of marriage, and then, obviously, we can use the illustration that we've looked at this morning within the church. Now, let's go back to the second one under marriage. Can you imagine, just for a moment, okay, just think along with me, in the garden, okay, let's say it's Steve and Deb, they're in the garden, okay? What kind of a relationship would that be before the fall? Would the male assert his leadership? Would he be domineering over? No, I don't think so. Why? Because they walked in a perfect state. They hadn't known sin to this point. Now, see, one of the things today, and the scripture seeks to address, is the effects of the fall, or man entering into sin, how it's so that it might instruct him how to live in light of that. Okay? Now, I think of beforehand. Wow. Disunity? No. And as we think about it in a broken world, why do relationships pull apart? Do you know what's interesting? I read this just not long ago. In America, and other parts of the world, where we get to choose our bride or groom, I guess about 50% success rate. Do you know that arranged marriages, it's about 5%? Now, isn't that interesting? We can, as we know, in a marriage relationship, we can have a union, but you may not have unity. What causes people to pull apart in a relationship? Okay? Not sharing the same interests, not communicating, spend time together. There's a number of things. And I thought this was kind of cute. you know, we can have a union, but not, we may not be united. Okay, I'm going to, here's a little illustration, and you may have heard before. We talk about tying the knot, don't we? When people get married. Tying the knot. Okay. If I took two cats and I tied their tails into a knot, I would have a union, but I sure wouldn't have unity, would I? No! Stay clear! What the Word of God encourages us to live in unity with one another. Now, before we move on, and I think I'm going to leave this one as the last today, because we can go on and at another time on this message. But I want you to turn with me over to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. You know what it says? And I've talked about unity in the Trinity, unity in marriage, unity in the church. And how, now we're going to talk, next time we're coming together, how to maintain unity. But how precious is it? Oh, he says in Psalm 133, and it's a song of David. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like what? It is like a precious oil poured on the head, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Okay, let's get the picture here. When we read this, most people in the read, they don't understand what the psalmist is talking about. Okay, in the Old Testament, the tribe of Levi was the priestly family, a priestly line. Okay, and Levi was the son of Jacob, third son of Leah's. Now, last week we talked about the priest and the Levite, or the servant, temple servant. But anyway, today we're going to focus in on the priests. See, when they were brought to be inaugurated or start their priestly service, you know what happened? Let's back up. God gave Israel a specific recipe of how to make an anointing oil, okay? And it was not to be duplicated. It was only for that, I should say, for other purposes. It was only for to consecrate the priesthood, the utensils used in the temple or the tabernacle, and to be poured upon the head of priests. What was the purpose of this? The purpose was that they were set apart. They were special to God because they represented, when they came to God, they represented the people. And God wanted them to be holy. This was a way of showing the others, these men have a very special calling, and I want them to be holy unto myself. Okay, so what he's talking about here. But he says, you know what? And this is beautiful. He says that in verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the beard. Okay, or on the head, pardon me. So get the picture. The priest is standing there. He's got a beard. And he's going to be anointed with oil. And they lavish this oil upon him. And it goes over his head, it goes down his beard, and goes over his garments. Now, the psalmist said, that is a lot like unity. How is that? Well, I believe it starts from the head and goes down. We have to have unity in leadership. But here's what's interesting. This oil special, oil is fragrance. Let's stop for a moment. Have you ever been around someone that had a new perfume or cologne on? Wow. You get a sniff of that and you say, my goodness, I know where they haven't been. Ah, that's really refreshing. So when the priest was anointed, and Aaron here, we hear the Aaronic priesthood, he was the high priest, and the oil pouring down upon him, the fragrance of that oil, that precious oil, what? Oh, it filled the place. See what I'm getting at today? God is generous, and he wants to pour out his blessing upon his people. And the result of that is that he said it's just like, or I shouldn't say the result, it flows all the way down, and he said it's just like the dew of Hermon. Did you know that Mount Hermon is the northern part of Israel? It's the only mountain of which, the highest mount, apparently that's the only mountain that they ski on. Now, I found that interesting. But the dew, when the dew came down, do you know what it did? The dew was very heavy. And obviously it moistened. It brought what? It refreshed. It brought life and vitality to the mountain. Oh, what about unity? Oh, unity in a family? Isn't that precious? Yes, it's refreshing. Unity, when we work together in groups. Isn't it great that this week I had a couple opportunities to work with guys in a group, two different groups. And you know what's really wonderful? It was really wonderful that there was a camaraderie, there was the oneness, it was jovial. It was great because we're all united in what we're doing. But folks, we know the bitter result when there's not unity, don't we? Whether it be disunity in a marriage, disunity in a church, disunity at work, it's not refreshing and uplifting. No. It really drains us. And so, as the psalmist said, and I just want to leave with you this morning, and we'll go on and talk about this, I say another time, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Is it possible? I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible. And what's interesting, you can go home and read it. You know what Paul is saying? In the book of Ephesians chapter, when we're looking at chapter 4, chapter 1 to 3, he talks about the believer's wealth. In chapter 4 to the end, he's talking about the believer's walk. And you know, he talks there about maintaining the unity in the midst of diversity. See, what we have to understand is that we're not cloning people. You don't all have to be like me. Thank you, Lord. Now, it's all right that you're different. It's all right that we have different gifts. And that's what Paul's coming to. Unity admits diversity. Now, isn't that encouraging? Yes, we're all different. We think different. And yet, you know what I love, Paul? You know, he talks about the one Lord. He talks about the one God and Father, one faith, one baptism, and so on. What is our common ground? What brings us back to the common ground in which we can be one? I believe that Ephesians chapter 4 has the recipe for that. And so this week, what do I want you to do? I want you this week, think of the people that you differ with or that are different in you. Do we accept them? Or we just turn our back on them? Or do we love them? See, really, yes, truth be known, we're all very different here this morning. And so our obligation is to love and to strive, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Well, God bless you this week. Thank you for being so attentive. When I see people fall off their seats onto the floor to sleep, that concerns me greatly. But God bless you. Shall we pray? Father, I just want to thank you for each one that's here today. Lord, we know that we struggle in the flesh. We know, Lord, that many times we don't add up. But we do know that if we walk in the Spirit and obedience to you, Lord, you give us the ability. Lord, we want your agape love as we come face to face with humanity day after day so that we can love them like you love them. And Lord, this morning, as we just introduced the subject of unity, Lord, may we respect other people, other nationalities, other gifts, and Lord, financial status, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to realize that we have so much to be thankful for, especially in the body of Christ. We have so much to walk in unison with or in harmony. Just minister to each home, each heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.